it about time for some fish fry? Why, yes, it is. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode number 479 of this here electronic engineering podcast called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com and written, produced, and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. In this week's podcast, we're talking about transportation trends, the future of e-mobility and automotive designs, and Infineon's RX and Travio MCUs. But before we bring in Marcelo Williams Silva from Infineon to talk about all of that and more, how about a little news you may have missed? DNA Motors Edition. So did you know that a team of chemists at Emory University have developed the first DNA-based motors that combine computational power with the ability to burn fuel and move in an intentional direction? So get this, these DNA-based motors can actually sense chemical information in their environment and also process that information and respond accordingly. These motors can also be programmed to respond to a specific DNA sequence or specific pathogen, making this kind of technology a huge step forward in medical testing and diagnostics. Another super cool aspect of these DNA-based motors is that even though they can be deployed as a group, each motor can also operate independently under different programs. So this could mean that you could have a massive array of micron-sized motors that could participate in a variety of tasks and also perform motor-to-motor communication. So, this kind of technology isn't exactly new. This lab, way back in 2015, developed the very first rolling DNA-based motor. That motor was 1,000 times better than other synthetic motors at the time, and helped fast-track the field of molecular robotics. But what that 2015 motor didn't have was built-in computer programming logic. Khalid Salalita, an Emory professor of chemistry and senior author of the paper about this research, explains the importance of this part of the research like this. Previous DNA computers did not have directed motion built in. But to get to more sophisticated operations, you need to combine both computation and directed motion. Our DNA computers are essentially autonomous robots with sensing capabilities that determine whether they move or not. So, what are we really talking about here? Well, these DNA-based motors also include a chassis, which is a glass sphere the size of 1 micron. Hundreds of DNA strands, also called legs, are allowed to bind to this chassis sphere. They are also very importantly placed on a glass slide, and that slide is coated in reactant RNA. This RNA will be the motor's fuel. The DNA legs are drawn to that RNA, but as soon as they touch it, they actually erase it through the activity of an enzyme that is bound to the DNA and destroys only the RNA. The sphere is then guided along its path by these DNA legs, binding and then releasing from the substrate. Okay, I hear you loud and clear, my fish frying audience. Sure, that's how it moves, but what about that computer programming logic part? Well, that's where Selma Parenje, a Emory University PhD candidate in chemistry and first author of this research paper, comes in. It was her idea to use a well-known reaction in bioengineering to perform the computation and then pair it with the motion of the rolling motors. So the reaction at the heart of this breakthrough is what is called toehold-mediated strand displacement that takes place in duplex DNA. In this case, the strands of the DNA are tightly coupled, except for one loose, floppy end of a strand. which is called the toehold. The rolling motor can be programmed by coding it with that duplex DNA that is complementary to a DNA target or a particular sequence of interest. The interesting thing happens here when the motor encounters its DNA target, because it actually rolls along its RNA, and then the DNA target actually binds to the toehold of that duplex DNA. And then it strips it apart and anchors that motor into place. The readout from the computer then becomes either motion or no motion. From there, these two basic logic gates of motion or no motion can be strung together to build more complicated operations. And what does that sound like? Yep, it sounds like logic gates of zeros and ones to me. So, where is this technology headed from here? This lab is working to establish a collaboration with scientists at the Atlanta Center for Microsystems Engineered Point of Care Technologies, an NIH-funded center established by Emory and Georgia Tech. They are currently exploring the potential for the use of this DNA computing technology for home diagnostics of COVID-19 and other disease biomarkers. Professor Khalid Saalita explains the power of his research like this. He says, "Unlike a hard silicon chip, DNA-based computers and motors can function in water and other liquid environments. And one of the big challenges in fabricating silicon computer chips is trying to pack in more data into an ever smaller footprint. DNA offers the potential to run many processing operations in parallel in a very small space. The density of operations you could run might even go to infinity." All right, to infinity and beyond, my little DNA motors. Let's go! So, if you want even more information about this super cool study, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. All right, it's time to bring in Marcelo and talk about the future of e-mobility and automotive designs. Let's go. Hi, Marcelo. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. It's always a pleasure to be in your podcast.
Thank you. Okay, so we're talking about the future of automotive designs, but especially within the microcontroller arena. So first, Marcelo, what design elements do you think are important as we go into 2023 and beyond?
Yeah, that's a very interesting point, Amelia. It's the way that we are seeing the automotive and beyond automotive applications are changing. In the past, we used to have the domain technology, domain controllers technology, which means you have a microcontroller for the braking, a microcontroller for the steering, a microcontroller for the inverter, a microcontroller for the battery management systems. And now, from 2023 and beyond, we are changing the view of the vehicle. So instead of we see the vehicle from the top, we are seeing the vehicle from the side. What it means, you have basically three different layers that are integrating all the applications. So the first layer is the bottom layer. It's what we call it skateboard. On this layer, or in this zonal controlling layer, you have already integrated braking, steering, power, and battery management systems all together. So what you are seeing in this market is a conversion of suppliers that in the past just do the braking or just do the steering or just do the traction control. Now they are offering a solution that do everything per wheel. Same thing happening on the next layer on top, which is the ADAS or safety applications, or even the charging parts that are more related to the safety of the user externally from the vehicle. So you have all the ADAS consolidation, all the safety systems, including airbags, radars, line change systems, everything that's related to safety outside the vehicle are in the second layer. And last but not least, the third layer is the in-cabin experience, okay? And in in-cabin experience, you have all the HMI, the human interface machines, the cameras, the comforts, the seat controllers, and everything else. which now Infineon, with the new portfolio after the Cypress acquisition, can cover completely the three layers that we are talking about from 2023 and beyond.
So, Marcelo, tell me about this new generation of RX microcontrollers that you guys just launched.
Yeah, first of all, it's always good to remind that Infineon is a big automotive player in semiconductors. We are the number one in power semiconductor globally, and we are the third biggest automotive microcontroller supplier, especially after the Cypress acquisition with RX, Travel, and AutoPSoC. We are growing in this market. But talking specifically about the embedded electronics in the vehicles. In the past, we had about 10 microcontrollers or 10 RX per vehicle. And nowadays, from 2023 and beyond, you have about 35 to 40 RX per vehicle with this new architecture in three different layers. And because of the amount of microcontrollers that you have in the vehicle, you need a high availability and a high reliability of those microcontrollers, because you can think like, I have one control per wheel. If I have a delay of 10 microseconds from one wheel to the other one, the car can spin and I can lose control. So you need a high availability of these microcontrollers in terms of communication, safety, and security. And that's what RXTC4 are offering right now. So the real-time performance and high availability that those applications demand. So the TC4 is coming with a new generation of CPU, the Tri-Core 1.8. It has up to 21 megabytes of flash embedded in the microcontroller. We offer also a peripheral called PPU, that's parallel processing unit. The parallel processing unit is, I would say, a microcontroller inside a microcontroller that takes care of some specific communication or radar application or some specific codes that will release more bandwidth to the microcontroller focus on other applications besides communication or any other specific application. And also we have a DSP that supports artificial intelligence topologies. So anything that needs machine learning or all those things are now required in these new topologies, we also offer on this TC4. And on top of that, as people know from the former TC3 devices, we offer a big ecosystem around it. We offer scalability inside the families with packages. And we offer as well all the certifications in safety and security that has been offered already for all the TC2 devices and TC3 as well.
So, Marcelo, explain to me the difference between this family and previous generations.
The biggest difference right now from the TC4 to the TC3 are the PPU, the parallel processing unit, because one thing that people came to us and said, I need more performance. I need more capability. So we said, okay, there is a limitation in terms of silicon when you go to higher performance or higher clocking, that if you go too far, you put in risk the safety part. So what we did, instead of we increase more performance, we create co-processing or parallel processing units that can take over tasks that are not timing critical, and they can release more processing power to the main tri-core CPUs to do what is really needed. So instead of we go higher in performance, in summary, we distribute it in more CPUs or more peripherals inside the TC4. And this enhances more the capabilities of the processor, and it enhances more the high availability need for communication as well. Plus, Amelia, just one thing that is very important to mention is that with the DSP inside, we increase also the artificial intelligence capabilities. So the machine learning, which is very critical for this new car topologies or vehicle topologies from 2023 onwards.
So I know you talked about this a little bit, but Marcelo, within the context of automotive designs in particular, where do you see these RX microcontrollers being a good fit?
It's a very interesting question, Amelia, because it's something that in 2016, we used to sell Aurix just for automotive applications. And on 2017, we saw a change in the scenario where Aurix is going to beyond automotive applications, what we call it CAV, commercial agricultural vehicles, or off-road vehicles as well. So it's been a trend since 2017 that Aurix is going not just for the vehicle itself, but for beyond automotive applications as well. So we see all applications related to e-mobility. Automotive is the main core of Aurix, that's for sure. So we support the safety, we support all the security parts, because people sometimes mix, oh, what's the difference between safety and secure? Safety is everything that is related to your life support, you know, like all the critical timing parts. And the safety is, in fact, all the part related to software over the air updates. It's also related to all the digital software parts. So how to protect your vehicle to avoid a hacker to invade or any software corruption. So that's the main difference from safety and security. So we are supporting this on all the e-mobility part from vehicles. And with the new capabilities of the TC4 coming, we are also supporting more the ADAS part, which means all the radar and all the automated driving capabilities with the PPU and the DSP as well. And plus all the new requirements coming for the EV vehicles, which means, oh, I need a highest frequency PWM to control the inverter. I need a highest communication channel. On the TC4, we also have a PCI Express. So it's a high throughput peripheral that we can enhance this communication between the processors and other peripherals. So it's all the kinds of application that now require a high availability micro with all the safety and secure. So I would say e-mobility, two-wheelers, commercial agricultural vehicles, everything that related to transportation is a good match for the Aurix family, in especial the Aurix TC4.
Excellent. All right, Marcelo, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, since you haven't been on my show yet, let's have our standard off-the-cuff. So, Marcelo, if you could have one meal right now, it doesn't matter if it's from the other side of the world, you need a passport to get there, what would you have?
I will say a barbecue, a very good barbecue. I'm originally from Brazil, okay? So I'm used to eat barbecue. So it's something that I really like it. But there are several types of barbecue. So my first option will be the Brazilian barbecue, but the second option will be a Korean barbecue, which is very, very good. When I've been in Korea, I had so many good Korean barbecues. So barbecue, it will be my first choice.
And that is a great choice, either Brazilian, Korean, combination of the both. Fantastic answer, Marcelo. I love it. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you again, and talk to you soon.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EE Journal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EE Journal TFM. And don't forget, if you would like to follow my personal Twitter account, check out Amelia D. 1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you'd like to further support this podcast, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. It really does help. Also, if you'd like any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology or heck you just want to chat, shoot me a line at Amelia, that's A-M-E-L-I-A, at eejournal.com, or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of April 29th, 2022, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.